Sometimes in life we just suffer. Sometimes it's from being totally withdrawn, or so much stress that we are totally anxious, or so tired that we are totally burnt out. But our current position is not our final destination. No, indeed. There's hope. So whether it's your personal life, your career, your relationship, your business, or your job, we say there's reason to believe again. And we present from Andy's Personal Development, the Breakout Room. It's the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. Stay tuned for more.
Hi, people. This is Andy of Andy's Personal Development, and we are currently live in the Breakout Room, the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. And we welcome you as we continue to give you the content and the value that you deserve as our tribe, our supporters, our people, and our listeners. On this episode, we have an amazing guest to share with you. His name is Joel David Bond, and he's an amazing individual that has done a lot of traveling. He's also a speaker and an author, but he can tell you so much more about himself, his work, and the value that he's adding to so many lives based on his calling that he himself has said he has discovered. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest live in the Breakout Room, Joel David Bond. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me on your show. And as you said, here I am. I've been a lot of places, traveled a lot, and I've got a great mission to share with the world. So I'm excited to share with you today.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Thank you for coming in and being with us and sharing your value and the impact that you have made upon the world as you have embraced your calling and your journey. So, Joel David Bond. Wow. Okay. I will just stick with Joel for now.
Keep it short. It's fine.
Just keep it short for now. Joel is going to be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How did you discover your calling in life? Was it an aha moment for you? Or was it something that you always knew since you were a young man? And I'm giving you three opportunities. Or was it something that gradually grew upon you?
That's a good question, Andy. I think for me, it's always been something innate. So almost a skill I was born with that grew and developed and I nurtured over time. I think from a very young age, I've always had this desire to explore, to discover new places, to really engage with the world around me. If you think back to your own childhood and the games that you would play with your friends, you'd often think about, you know, playing doctor or fireman or whatever it was. For me, it was always explorer, adventurer. I wanted to be Indiana Jones when I grew up, you know. I wanted to have something exciting to go and explore new places and discover new things. And it wasn't until much later in life that I was able to really find and channel that energy into more productive ways. But I think it's always been a part of my character since a very young age.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing. We appreciate that. So when I look at your information, it has so much with regards to your background, what you have been doing, what you have discovered. But I want to focus on seasoned traveler and educator. They seem to complement each other. What it is about that particular aspect of your life that brings you some level of fulfillment, I'm sure. Seasoned traveler and educator.
Yeah, I think what I find in myself over time has been this marriage of those two qualities. The idea of being able to travel around the world, to have experienced life on every inhabited continent, and to connect with people from multiple different cultures. But in that process, also kind of becoming a student of human culture, human society, human relationships, and learning how I might be able to share that information with others. So how is it that we actually connect across boundaries, across faith divides, about across social political lines, across economic lines? What is it that we, you know, need, or the skills that we need in order to really connect with people who are maybe not from our quote unquote tribe? Right. So for me, this has been really my lifelong passion, is combining both the travel and the education aspect.
Okay, great. Wonderful. So you may have noticed that we have dubbed this episode Living Large and Unexpected Places, a conversation with Joel David Bond. If you were to go back down memory lane, Joel, to remember some of the travels that you have had, the experiences, which one would stand out the most for you, or probably had the greater impact with regards to a lesson that you would have learned?
Ooh, you know, it's so hard to pick just one when you've been so many places. But I think for me, the one that's really resonated deeply with me for a long time now is my most recent experience living in Iraq. I've spent the last 7 years living in the northern Kurdistan region of Iraq in the Middle East. Yeah. And as most of us are aware, Iraq has had such negative press in recent years, years of turmoil and conflict. And yet to go and live there and be amongst the culture and the people and discover how incredibly hospitable and warm and diverse the culture is. It's way more diverse and unique and has so much history that I think most people don't realize. And so for me, that's really sat deeply in my heart and my soul, is this connection with Iraq and ancient Mesopotamia and the diversity of faith and religion and politics and people, lifestyles that just exist in that space, to be able to discover such diversity in a very unexpected part of the world.
Yeah, I hear so much in what you're saying. But what I want to focus on is the recent work in Iraqi Kurdistan. It says it built bridges between some of the region's most elite students and the locally marginalized refugee community through service learning. Share a bit of that experience with us, please, because it sounds as though you were profoundly given back with regards to this particular experience.
Yeah, you know, Andy, that was really what was the highlight of my career portion of living in Kurdistan. I had worked at a pretty prestigious international school, private international school in the region there, and our student population were some of the wealthiest 1% in the region, basically. They were nieces and nephews, sons and grandsons and children of the local business owners, politicians, you know, people who were in positions of power or prestige or wealth within the city. And at the same time, Iraq has been host to loads of conflict in the past several decades. And as a result, there's a lot of internally displaced people. So IDPs is the acronym for that. It's basically a word for in-country refugees. So people who have not become refugees outside of their country, but in their own country. So there were a number of IDP camps around the city where I worked. And it was just a fascinating statistic to run across that 1% of the world's population is displaced due to conflict. So 1% is seeking asylum someplace as in the form of a refugee or IDP. Yeah. And that we also have heard in recent years about the sort of financial 1% top wealth who control the world's commerce and economics and, you know, politics and business. And so I thought to myself, what would happen if I were able to get this top 1% in my local community to engage with the marginalized and disenfranchised 1%? Yeah. So I developed a service learning program that ended up being the foundation for my master's thesis in education to get students engaged in volunteer service throughout the course of the year and connect through donations and time with IDPs and marginalized communities around them, in a sense of being able to develop a sense of empathy and connection and future leadership skills. All right. 'Cause at the end of the day, if these people who are the wealthy 1% or the children of the wealthy 1% end up inheriting roles of and positions of power, I want them to be the kind of people who have empathic leadership and understand how to make decisions that affect not just themselves, but benefit the greater community, including the marginalized and disenfranchised.
Right. I get it.
So what we found through this research was that through volunteer service learning opportunities and self-reflection through journaling and volunteer work, that the majority, the vast overwhelming majority of the students continued this pattern of seeking volunteer work, of seeking self-reflection, of having better time management skills. There were some surprising discoveries in that research. And I think that sort of concept is something that really needs to be broadcast to a wider market, particularly mm-hmm. those who are working in post-conflict societies to rebuild education there.
Yeah, yeah. So we have heard so many things about Iraq and the Middle East and the Far East and all the conflict and the disenfranchisement and the disillusionment. And you're talking about displaced people who are like refugees in their own country. What were the challenges, Joel, that you would have faced that probably taught you so much more about what was happening in that location, that part of the world, other than what you would have heard by the news and the media or other platforms?
You know, I think the best way to answer this is really just to tell a story, almost. I remember one of the days that I took a field trip with the students to the refugee camp, the IDP camp, and we were delivering donations of toys. And it was actually for all of the students, it was their these particular students' first visit inside the confines of the camp. And one of my early visits, I had not spent much time at that point inside the official United Nations IDP camp. And we were invited into the shelter of one of the families. And it was nothing more than some sort of steel arches covered by sort of, you know, fabric, almost like a gardener's polytunnel kind of, you know, like a grow house kind of space, with some carpets on the ground. And there was a shared toilet block in between sort of four different units there, housing units. And we sat inside this space and were served tea and fruit and snacks, all out of the goodness and generosity of the hearts of these refugees that were there. And I remember as we were leaving the camp, we had delivered all these toys, and there were these children who came running up, and they were, you know, so excited to have these toys in their possession. And we were learning in that space that, you know, my students that I brought into this camp were virtually guaranteed a graduation and to go on to university. I mean, just by nature of their privilege. And what we learned is that the inverse statistic was true of students in the refugee camp. They had only a handful of teachers for this about 2,000 students, and they were likely not going to pass their national exams and even graduate out of high school. Yeah. And so we had this disparity, this discrepancy between, you know, my students that were there and the students that we were, you know, working with in the camp. And as we drove away, I remember this one little girl. She had this, it was this little plastic toy dinosaur. I think it was the dinosaur from Toy Story, the movie. And she's like holding this thing up and she's cheering. She's like, yes, you know, she's chasing after the bus. Wow. And we drove out, you know, and we went back towards the school, and I did a little debrief session on the bus with the students. And I asked them, you know, what did you learn? What were the facts? You know, how do you feel about what you learned? Did you discover anything new, you know, that you didn't expect to discover? And how will this impact you in the future? Sort of, you know, four Fs, the facts, feelings, findings, and futures. And I remember seeing two or three girls in the back seat, and they had their AirPods in and their Apple Watches and their brand new Nike sneakers. And they're sat there, you know, they pull their AirPods out, and they're, you know, listening and they're responding to these questions. I could see three of them, the three girls, just start to tear up. Wow. And realize that I had made such an impact, that this experience had made such an impact on their lives, and that they knew that they had to do more, that they had to do something, that they couldn't just live their privileged lives anymore. That there were ways that they could connect and serve their community, and that they had the power to do that. Yeah. And I remember I turned around and I sat back down, and my co-chaperone, my co-leader who was with me, just leaned over and put a hand on my knee and just said, "That was very well done." And I just sort of cried in that moment. I just collapsed into myself because I didn't realize the kind of work that I was doing, the impact that I was having, until I saw it sort of manifested in the faces of these three girls and the joy from that one refugee child as we drove away from that camp. And it it really changed my perspective. It shifted my concept of the power that we have, what we can, like we can do things to affect real change in this world. And even the smallest actions, such as a plastic dinosaur, can go such a long way and mean so much more than just a plastic dinosaur.
Wow. I love that. I could feel the passion and all the good virtual things that could come out of that story. And it's an amazing way in which you're able to connect and touch and impact those people's lives. I can imagine how good that felt. Thank you for sharing, Joel. I want to shift gears a little bit and look at something that you entitled, or maybe you were advised to entitle, As Large as Your Spirit, a reverse refugee memoir. I find that very intriguing. What was the very essence of the message that you wanted people to get out of the book, and how did you arrive at the title?
As Large as Your Spirit, a reverse refugee memoir. You know, the main message that I really want people to take away from this is that home is where you are known. That home is the place where your community, where you're connected, where you're local, where there are people who love you and you love them.
Yeah.
And the general narrative arc of the memoir is based on my experience being quarantined on a remote Greek island during the early stages of the pandemic. And I had gone to this remote island for a spring break vacation in early March of 2020 with just a carry-on bag, thinking I would be there for 5 days, a week. And the day I arrived on the island, the World Health Organization used the words global pandemic, and the dominoes started to fall, everything shut down. And what was going to be initially just a five-day vacation on this Greek island, sort of slightly off-grid, disconnected, ended up being 5 months. Of unable to leave and just living out of my carry-on bag. While I was there, I discovered there was a refugee camp on the island, on the opposite side of the island from where I was staying.
Yeah.
And so here I was, a man from the West, caught on this Greek island, attempting to get back to my home in the Middle East, with all of these refugees who are from the Middle East, caught on this Greek island, attempting to get to the West. And so our paths merged and intersected, and I ended up teaching English and volunteering for 2.5 months in the refugee camp. And it was through that experience that really all of our lives were changed for the better. It's where I really learned the impact and scale of the global migrant and refugee crisis, and also learned how to connect with the humanity across those borderlines, across those that divide.
Yeah.
And, you know, the narrative arc, of course, is this pandemic quarantine story, this crossing paths. But the true heart of the story really is, what does it mean to find a place to call home? Right. Not just a physical place, me trying to get back to Iraq, or these refugees trying to establish a new physical home in Europe or the West. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean to find a home in your own heart, in your own soul, a spiritual center, if you will? Where do you find that alignment within yourself and become comfortable in your own identity and who you are? Right. That's ultimately the true heartbeat of the story, and what I'd love to have people take away whenever they read As Large as Your Spirit.
Right. So, Joel, I'm going to help you with that a little bit. And I have something here that I want to share. And I want you to just sort of color commentary after we look at it. Here we go.
All right. Hey, everyone. It's day 3. And just a short one today. Just thought I'd throw a few thoughts out. You know, all this time alone and time to think, how to process and reflect, really makes me wonder if a lot of us are afraid of ourselves. Are you afraid of what you find inside here? Inside here. And when you're confronted with the silence and all the noise is stripped away and you have nothing left to listen to but yourself, do you like what you hear? Do you like what you see? Do you like what you discover? Or does it terrify you? Do you recognize or do you not recognize yourself? In all of this as well, I've kind of been reminded as well that the healthiest people in this world are not the ones who have everything together, because we all have bits and pieces of us that are still broken and we're trying to be put back together again. But the strongest people in this world are those who know what they need, and they're not afraid to ask for it. So, do you know yourself? Do you know what you need? Not just what you want, because that's a different category, but what you actually need. And are you able to ask for it? Some thoughts for today. Hope you're staying safe, stay sane, stay connected. See you soon.
Wow, you've done your research. That's a deep dive back in the past.
yeah. But that to me, Joel, was so deep, so magnanimous, so powerful. And it had me doing a lot of reflection and introspection. But in that moment, I am seeing yourself like you were kind of going down memory lane, thinking about the reality of what you were saying. What was that moment like for you? And what deep, deep instinctive lesson that you really wanted people to get out of that?
Well, oh man, this is, you know, it's 4 years ago since the pandemic broke, since that video was made. And, you know, if you go with me back in time to those early days of the pandemic, when we were really uncertain, everybody was afraid. Nobody knew what this thing was. Nobody knew how long it would last. Everybody kept saying, oh, another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks. We lived our life in sort of 2 week increments. This quarantine just barreled on for indefinitely. And as we found ourselves stuck in our own homes, we also found ourselves stuck in our own heads.
Yeah.
It's as if the volume of the world just got turned down, way down. And all of a sudden you had all this chatter inside your own mind that you had to pay attention to. And I think in that space, you know, that was day three of being stuck on this island, not knowing how long I'd be there at that point. And having all this time to just sit and reflect and to think and to ponder on who I was, who I wanted to be. What were my goals in life? What if this never actually ends? What if I accidentally end up being stuck in Greece the rest of my life? you know, what if everybody I know and love dies of this horrible unknown new disease? I mean, we just had all of these big, big questions, and we're suddenly faced with this, what's the meaning of life, our own mortality. And I think as I started making those videos, they were really, you know, I mean, I sort of put them out there publicly for everybody on my social media channel, but they were really for me. They were a chance for me to just journal my own thoughts out loud, because I didn't have anybody to share with. I wasn't quarantined with another human being. I was all by myself. And the only way to connect with another human being at that point was via social media on the internet.
Right.
And so I think what I really wanted in that space and that time was really just the outlet for myself. And that's really, the key thing that I had in that moment. But I'm really glad that other people gained value from it too.
Yes, I'm sure so many did. And thank you for that moment. We went through a very, there are some words that I would like to use to describe it. One is apocalyptic, in terms of not knowing what tomorrow would bring, or the next week, or the week after that. And just living from moment to moment, waiting to hear what the news is saying. But I think for a large amount of that time, we really had to do some deep searches of ourselves.
Yeah.
And the pandemic allowed us the opportunity to find out who we really are. When our backs are against the wall and we don't have a choice, and we have been dictated by the pace of a pandemic that we can't see, but we certainly can feel, and we know it's there because we are seeing all the signs and the symptoms and the effects and defects around us. How do we respond? How deep do we need to dig? We learned about our resilience. We learned about our character. We learned about our mannerisms. And most of all, we learned about how we can come together as a people and survive. And I think for me, that's the deepest lesson that we should have learned, that even though our backs were against the wall, and I mean, it had no prisoners. You could be the president or the beggar in the street. You were a victim of this pandemic. But we had to find a way, Joel, to come together and to recognize that even though we were not born equal, we were all created equal. And that opportunity for all existed even in the midst of that pandemic. So that is was it, it was like for me. But I'm glad that you shared your response in that manner and you expressed that passion. So, folks, we had an audience of 3 recently, and we'd like your comments and your questions. If you have any for Joel, he's willing to respond. The theme of the episode is Living Large in Unexpected Places, a conversation with Joel David Bond. So, Joel, what does the future look like for you in your work as you continue to connect with the people that you have vouched to help and assist with the gifts that God has given unto you?
Yeah, Andy, I think where I'm going right now is just to continue to build on some of my previous successes and to share the knowledge that I've learned. It's one thing to just go and live in all these different places and have all these great experiences. And it's another thing to be able to share and transfer that knowledge to other people so that they can also do their work in the world and have positive effect and change. Yeah. So one of the things that I'm really striving to do more of now is things like this, to share my message on public platforms, to do more public speaking, potentially to get into public schools here in the US and to do some cross-cultural communication training and ways to sort of break down those boundaries and create more empathy. I think we live in a world now in our social media echo chambers where we really no longer are developing or exercising our empathy muscles. And if I can bring part of another culture and present that to you and show you ways that you can connect across those lines and what are things that you can do to just even open those doors and invite people who are other than you into your space, then by default, you're having to begin to exercise those empathy muscles again. So I think it's a skill, empathy. We all can learn it. But if you don't use it, you lose it, kind of thing. And so I want to be able to provide more of that to the people around me to engineer those experiences and provide those opportunities for people to grow.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. Author, speaker, and traveler, Joel David Bond, live in the breakout room. We're just going to break for a short moment as we continue to help those who support us and we are aligned with regards to the success that we want to bring to people. Remember, we are your partner in health, happiness, and prosperity. Hold on to this ad for 1 minute. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's meetachieve.com with my partner, Anthony Muru. We provide every Monday at that time special public speaking skills for anyone who's interested in uplifting and bigging up their game, as they say, with regards to public speaking and its success. But the guest for the moment in the studio is Joel David Bond, author, speaker, and traveler. David, if there's one piece of advice you would give to people, not just in the areas that you have worked in, but in terms of the challenges that we face every day across the globe, and it seems to be something that is happening more often as we speak in terms of people being left out of the social cycles and the simple amenities that they need to have a quality life. You have seen those things in Iraq, and you have faced some of the problems that other persons are faced as well. What advice would you give to people that we can do to help ease some of the burdens of these people who have become refugees in their own countries?
Well, you know, there's multiple things that you could do. But I think ultimately, really the number one thing that I think all of us need to be able to do is, in the words of Socrates, know thyself. Take time to know who you are first, because how will you ever bridge that gap? How will you ever cross that divide and help people who are other or different or connect with people who are different than you if you don't already know yourself?
Yeah.
You don't take the time to journal, to reflect, to meditate, to pray, to goal set, to do all of those sorts of things that we all know we should be doing, at least on some level, and really get to know who you are as a person, know yourself, turn the volume down and let yourself think. Because when you know yourself, you then can develop that empathy and put yourself in other people's shoes and try to see how they feel, what their perspective in life is. So I'd say number one is know yourself. Number two is reach out. Once you are in that process, that cycle of continually evaluating yourself and knowing who you are, because that's a never-ending journey, of course, is to then, you know, reach out across the divide and extend an invitation to people. Ask questions, listen to those around you, observe without judgment first, and try to understand what's going on in the lives of people that you come across. To me, those are, I think, are the number two, you know, are the two big things, you know? And ultimately, I think it boils down to sort of that, a summary of that great commandment of, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You must know yourself and know your neighbor. So,
yes.
Yeah. You know, it boils down to that in the end.
Yeah, I love it. Great. Thank you so much for sharing, Joel. So I just want to show you quickly some comments from Anthony Maruri, my associate and my partner on this journey of producing content that would give people the opportunity to grow and develop themselves and to become empowered. And then he followed up on that Greek quote that you did, know thyself. He said, great quote. And he also followed up by repeating what you said, reach out across the divide. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for those comments, Anthony. We appreciate you and we appreciate your support and your continued commitment as we work together to make this place, the world, a better place for us all to live and not just survive, but thriving.
Yeah.
David, and I'm calling you by your second name, Joel David Bond.
That's fine.
Here's the thing. That's fine. Here's the thing. You just spoke about what the ordinary layman, the layperson, can do with regards to bringing that connectivity with people who may be underprivileged or denied some of the basic amenities of life. What would you say to the leaders of our free world in terms of how they can make a better contribution? And this is neither political nor philosophical. Mm. It's just plain common sense from a leadership perspective, the things that they can do to make this place so much more better than it is. Because sometimes I think they don't recognize, Joel, how much power they have in their hands to affect the lives of people who they have been chosen to govern one way or the other. But what would you say to them if you had a megaphone, a mic?
Oh, man. You know, big questions there that it's so hard to distill down into a single item.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've often asked a variation of this question to many people as I've traveled around the world. And, you know, my variation, my take on it has always been, if you were to magically wake up tomorrow morning as leader of your country, what's the first thing that you would do, action you would take? And almost invariably, people answer that they would reform education.
Yeah,
that would do something to improve or augment the quality of education so that the local population, the people who are, you know, on the ground, on the front lines, doing the work, you know, day in and day out, they had better opportunities to understand the world around them. And so I would say, if you are a leader somewhere in the world, this podcast, take a moment to actually evaluate how your education is equipping your citizens to reach across that divide and to develop empathy, because we live in a world that is so splintered and fractured politically, socially, economically. We draw lines around our own camps and say that, you know, us four and no more, you know, get thee away and we'll keep our tribe to ourselves, sort of thing. And I think if we can educate ourselves and educate the population on what does it take to actually connect, to listen, to be a part of society, even when you have values or ideas that differ from each other, that all of that really at the end boils down to your education as a child, transmitting those values
not just knowledge, but transmitting values to each other of empathy, of connection, of love, and of care.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Joel. I support you fully in that, and I understand the concept. I was listening to a video recently. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's an Asian motivational speaker, and he was saying, people don't realize that the time is coming that parents and teachers have to begin teaching students more about life than about subjects. When he said that, it hit me because he says, very soon you're going to have the AI community telling people how to educate their children, what they should learn and should not learn. And if we allow that to happen in a large way, Joel, what does the future look like if a child grows up in an environment where everything is AI-based and they lose that connection with themselves as an individual to empathize, to sympathize even, or to feel that symbiotic resonance with another fellow human being because they were not taught about how to play and connect, share music, share sports, share ideas. And I think that you have hit on something similar to that. And I believe it is important for us to recognize that if nobody else is doing it, we have to start doing it for ourselves. And every individual takes that kind of responsible approach, thinking about what the future could look like. We have the opportunity now to do something today that could shape our future for tomorrow. And it starts with us. So I applaud you and I support you in your comments thus far. So my brother on LBW Radio, I believe is Dexter Honore in Bonaire. He says, hey, brother. Hey, right back to you. And thank you for being on and supporting us as we continue. So Joel had been in a bit of a pickle at one point in time. And I just want to share this video with us as well. And he's going to comment after. So stand by for this.
Hi, friends. I've been pretty quiet the last 10 days or so because I've just recently been through an incredibly abrupt life change. About 10 days ago, I received a phone call from the State Department in Iraq where I was living, told that I needed to evacuate the country due to a viable threat against my personal safety and security in the country. While there are other Americans that live in the city where I was at, this information was targeted directly to me, apparently, which meant that it was a serious threat that I needed to take into consideration and follow through with action. So I've since moved back to the U.S. In the last 10 days, processing through the trauma of having lost 7 years of my life, leaving that behind, and figuring out what those next steps are. If you are here in the U.S., know that I'm excited to see you. While I process through a lot of trauma and heartache and grief, and if you're anywhere else in the world, know that I miss you very much and hope that we can see each other at some point soon. Thanks so much for your prayers and support and your kind words of encouragement during this incredibly difficult transition, and take care for now.
Wow. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Joel, I see the power in that being, one, your resilience, two, your vulnerability, and three, your acceptance of the situation, but not as a victim, but as somebody who has learned something out of that situation. What was that experience like for you?
Well, you know, Andy, I haven't watched that since I posted it, I think. And just to see my previous self with my current self side by side on the screen here. I mean, you can just visually tell the difference between the shell shock that I had in that video and sort of the, you know, much more put together, like I can face the world now sort of face that I'm wearing today. So yeah, it was very vulnerable. You are right, because I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen next. And I didn't even know whether I should even share any of that. But I also knew that I wasn't going to be able to make this transition alone. That was just such a shock, really. I'd spent 7 years of my life building a community, loving people, doing such great work, being known in my community and, you know, honored and revered for, you know, the things that I was doing to progress education and society there. And for whatever reason, which is still will forever be a mystery, really, I got flagged up on certain lists of not so good people that wanted to do me harm and decided that I should no longer be in their country. So I was told to leave, and I basically evacuated in 24 hours or less. Left everything behind, lost my house, lost my job, lost my community, everything. But you know, that was, it took a long time to process that trauma. And it, indeed, it still is traumatic. It's, you know, still fresh. It's only a few months ago. Yeah. But I think part of what really helped me get through that experience is one, knowing that this too shall pass. Just like as large as your spirit and being stuck on a Greek island and quarantined and, you know, working with refugees and having my heart broken through the pain and suffering that I saw these people experiencing in that time, you know, I've developed my resilience muscles through that experience and also through 7 years of living in a post-conflict society that was not my own home culture and had to take a lot of effort to build. And while it's really sad to see a lot of that disappear overnight, I also knew that there would be something good that would come out of this, that there was something ahead of me that I could look forward to, that in fact, the best years of my life are probably still ahead of me and not behind me. As long as I have the, you know, the free will and the power to focus on improving myself and improving my life and my situation. If I'm going to become a victim of my own life, then yes, my best years are behind me, but I'm not a victim and I'm not going to, you know, fall prey to my own life. I'm going to be the author of my own destiny in a sense and walk hand in hand with the divine towards the next step, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about, you know, the journey that we take through life. You know, there's a reason why we never really see the end destination. We only have enough light for the few steps in front of us. And as long as you trust that process, you know you'll get somewhere good. And that the real joy is actually in the journey itself, not the destination. That the real joy is growing and learning as you move through life and learn all these lessons. And so it was really hard. I'm not going to lie. It still hurts. It's almost, you know, it's really painful to actually rewatch that video and sort of see my own self just a few months ago. But, you know, resilience is a powerful thing. And I think, again, it's a skill that we can develop and learn over time. And I'm just incredibly grateful that I've had multiple opportunities that have prepared me in a sense for something as traumatic as this.
Amazing stuff. So I, you can see that comment. I really love that quote, "This too shall pass." That's a strong reminder for many who have been in similar situations to yours, Joel. Yeah. And they need to be told that nothing is forever. Most of what we experience is quite temporary. I'm going to lift your spirits a little bit. I'm going to share something with you. I want you to comment on it.
All right.
There you go. Tell me about this.
Oh, yes. All right. So this is actually towards the end of my time in Iraqi Kurdistan and my position as academic director of the British International School.
Okay.
And I've used that as a jumping off platform, really, for a lot of public speaking. Okay. So where I'm headed right now is doing more presentations, working in the community to get this message out, to really inspire and motivate people to live, you know, to their fullest potential, to find their true selves and to connect with people around them. So this is a sort of a jumping off platform for that. And what's my current work, what I'm doing now.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. So we have a wonderful audience on and so many comments. And I know that there are many more looking on as well. And we really appreciate and are humbled by your level of vulnerability and your commitment to just sharing some of the amazing stuff that you have gone through, Joel. I just want to give you the opportunity now, and I'm going to put it up on the screen as well. Tell people how they can make contact with you. What's the most efficient, effective way if they need you to speak or just to share your experiences with them or get your book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the shameless plug right here is joeldavidbond.com is my website. I'm also on social media channels of Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn as well, all at Joel David Bond. And my book, As Large As Your Spirit, A Reverse Refugee Memoir, is available on Amazon on all the global platforms there. So amazon.com.co.uk, wherever you are in the world, you can find that in Kindle, paperback, and hardback versions. So there I am, joeldavidbond.com, As Large As Your Spirit on Amazon.
Yeah, wonderful. So there you have it, folks. Thank you for investing your time with us, and we hope that we have added more value to your life as we continue to partner with you in bringing you the content that would give you the opportunity to achieve health, happiness, and prosperity with our guest, Joel David Bond. This episode entitled Living Large in Unexpected Places. I see one more comment coming in, and it says, related to James.
007 and a half right here.
2.5 in the future. All right, great, wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Anthony. You're an amazing guy yourself. So until next time, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development together with my guest, Joel David Bond. He's an author, traveler, and a speaker. We wish him all the best as he continues to do his work and progress along the path that he has chosen. And I have a final comment from Loretta. She says, good evening, guys. It's nice. I miss a lot. Well, you can always go back on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube and see the rerun until we pull it down for editing purposes. It's going to be up there, Loretta. Thank you so much for your continued commitment and your support. And we hope that you get value from the content that you would see as we continue to connect on the breakout room. So, and here's my brother saying thank you very much. Thank you for your support in Bonnier as well, Dexter. And I know that you all would have appreciated so much what our guest Joel David Bond has shown or shared with us. So until next time, we say thank you. God bless to all of you. Continue to keep reaching for the stars and even beyond. Start beyond your limit and achieve all the goals that you believe it's possible for you to achieve. So, bye for now. Until next time, stay blessed. All the best. Okay, so